Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be, wherever you're traveling, whatever you're doing. We're so grateful to have you tuning in with us this morning. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent. It is also Christmas Eve day, so we have a full lineup of services at church, a 10 a.m. service where we'll be sharing the message that I'm going to be offering to you in a moment. But then we've got our 4 p.m. children's pageant, and then our 6 and 7 o'clock services and 11 o'clock candlelight service. So hopefully you can either tune in online or join us in person. Now I'd like you to prepare your hearts for the message that we'll receive, which is focused on the story of Joseph. Last week we focused on Mary, but because we're focusing on Joseph, I thought a perfect anthem would be Aram Shabanian, our dear friend's song, I Am a Carpenter.
And I build with careful hands. I do my best to take each block of wood and carve it into something strong and sturdy, something useful, something beautiful for the world. Not a wise man, not a king. And yet the angel told me in a dream, the Virgin Mary soon will bear a son called Jesus. Take her hand, I'll take her hand, and he shall Holy Child is born. I'll lead my family through Israel. We'll build a home. We'll help him grow. I am a carpenter, and I've knocked at every door. This table bare, I'll keep them warm. I'll build a bed of hay, we'll lay him in a manger, 'neath the shining star. And he shall be called Emmanuel, King of Kings, the Holy Child. Best to guide my baby boy and raise him to be someone strong and sturdy, someone helpful, someone beautiful. This child is so beautiful. Shall be called Emmanuel,
So I'm going to apologize in advance. I've been battling a cold. I record these podcasts a couple days earlier. So when you're hearing this, hopefully I'll be actually in church much recovered on Christmas Eve day. But we're looking at the story of the Nativity in Matthew. And this is where we get kind of the focus on Joseph. And so in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 following, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet: 'Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel,' which means 'God is with us.' When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relationships with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus." Let's pray. Lord God, Scripture attests that the grass withers, the flower fades, but your word endures forever. So we ask that you would share your word with us this morning, that it might sustain us now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we did last week, if you tuned in, I want to make some observations about Joseph, just like we did about Mary last week, and consider how those observations might apply to our lives and our living. And I want to begin by saying that this is Joseph's moment. He only gets one Sunday a year, and this is it. Joseph shows up in the Nativity story in the Gospel of Matthew, and then we never hear from him again. The assumption is that Joseph did not live long enough to see Jesus grow to maturity. Now, this is it for Joseph in the published version of God's divine drama. And that may be instructive, because I think we often believe that we're meant to be called by God to certain work for the entirety of our earthly existence. Once in God's service, always in God's service, whether we do it well or not, whether we like it or not. And while I do believe that we're all called by God to attempt to live faithfully each and every day of our lives, God's specific need for us to intervene in significant matters of the world might be kind of like a one-and-done event. Some people are called by God to stand up and speak up or act up for a single moment. I mean, think about it. It's possible that all your coming to church, all your viewing online, all the serving on boards, the pledging, the trying to do your best in life is leading to one moment when you will be called to stand up for the Lord and perhaps stand by someone God needs you to support. That was Joseph's calling. Just one simple yet exceedingly important task: protect a mother and an infant son. Keep Mary and Jesus safe when they could not fend for themselves. That's all Joseph did, and he's forever remembered for this moment of intervention and faithfulness. So I want us to consider who Joseph was from what we can tell from the story and how he stepped up and see if we can learn anything from his witness. The first thing that I want to mention is what it says right in the text, that Joseph was righteous. That means Joseph was just. Righteousness and just are synonymous. And what that means is that Joseph understood, upheld, and lived by Hebrew legal code. But it's curious. He didn't exactly follow the letter of the law in regard to Mary. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's clear that if a woman engaged to a man was found to be pregnant by another man, she and the other individual involved were to be taken to the town gate in very public fashion and stoned to death. They were to be executed in order, it says, to purge the evil from your midst. So a law-abiding man would have been well within his rights to have Mary killed. But Joseph's righteousness, doing right by God, if you will, was somehow different. For Joseph, doing what was right in the sight of God was to choose a more compassionate response. He would return Mary to her family and divorce her quietly. See, for Joseph, being merciful was the right or righteous thing to do. And if you read through the New Testament, Jesus' teachings, you'll see that compassion and mercy tend to supersede the law. And you hear that come through in Jesus' own teachings. So often, particularly in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus will quote a law and then state what compassion demands above and beyond that law. So Jesus said, for instance, you've heard it said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you, and this is how he raises the bar, I say to you, if you're angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. Or you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And that's interesting, going above and beyond to do the compassionate thing. Jesus must have learned a thing or two from Joseph. You know, sometimes, oftentimes, according to the Christian witness, offering compassion and mercy is more important than adhering to the letter of the law. It's the Jesus way. So first, Joseph was righteous. And then the second observation I want you to make is that Joseph was patient, right? I've come to really appreciate the part of the story where it says Joseph planned to dismiss Mary quietly, but just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, I know I've made this observation before, and I think it's important. Joseph had resolved to dismiss Mary quietly. He'd made up his mind. The next thing we learn, Joseph had a dream that changed his mind. So Joseph was resolved, and after a dream, he adjusted his plans. So what happened between the resolution and his dream? You know, right? He went to sleep. He went to sleep. Joseph had a major life-altering decision before him, and he didn't rush into it. Even after making up his mind, Joseph was slow to act. He chose to sleep on it rather than rush to judgment. And that is patience. Not being too quick to act can be an important discipline that can allow God time and space to move within us and redirect us. And then the final observation is simply that Joseph was obedient. Obedience, I know, is easily the most overlooked and underrated spiritual discipline. Joseph did what he was told, that was it. Not necessarily what he wanted to do. In fact, if you read the story as it goes through chapter 2 in Matthew's gospel, three times Joseph felt directed by God in a dream, and he got up and immediately followed in God's direction. Joseph was willing to have his mind and his plans changed. He was willing to be obedient. And the result? The Holy Family was saved. Now, you know as well as I do that obedience is in short supply today. It's not a particularly valued characteristic. We prefer doing our own thing in our own way and on our own timetable, which means God has really limited access to us. You know, I think about it. We ourselves might be the biggest barrier to God's activity in our lives. You know, a little obedience can go a long way. And without Joseph's obedience, we don't have Jesus. What might be possible if you and I were willing to be obedient to those divine promptings we receive from time to time? So, what do we do with these few observations about Joseph's faithful moment of service to the Lord? Well, first, in our relationships, in our workplaces, in our opinions about the rights and wrongs of the world, we can choose compassion and mercy before judgment and condemnation. We can understand that righteousness before God has less to do with rigid legalism and more to do with the generosity of spirit. And I want to suggest that that is good news for anyone who might have to stand before the Almighty and give account for their lives. And then second, don't rush to judgment. You know, very little in life needs immediate response. Time, space, patience allows the Lord access to us in our decision-making process. When you have a significant decision to make, a decision that will have a significant ramification on others, even and perhaps especially when you're resolved to follow a particular course of action, take some time to pray about the decision, and then dare to sleep on the matter before acting upon it. Wake up in the morning and see if your perspective has changed. I mean, you know this. Things have a way of changing at night. It's in our sleeping hours that our defensives drop, and I think that's when God might have real access to us. So don't rush to judgment. Leave some time and space for God in your decision-making process. And third, try to be obedient. God can communicate to us through dreams, through other people, through the advent of certain opportunities or challenges. Listen to the prompting of your heart and spirit, and you'll likely learn the good God wants you to do. The challenge, of course, is summoning the resolve to do it. But when we are willing, when we're obedient, much like Joseph, you know, that action can lead to salvation for ourselves and others. In fact, one moment of obedience might lead to the most important and impactful work of your entire life. It might even be what you are ultimately remembered for. So there we have him, Joseph. I mean, in one sense, we don't know all that much about him, and yet we may learn from this story everything we need to know. Joseph was compassionate. Joseph was patient. Joseph was obedient. And did you hear what the reward was for his faithfulness? Joseph was allowed the opportunity to give our Lord his name. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. One moment of faithfulness led to an eternity of salvation. And for that, we give thanks to God. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that the witness of Joseph might somehow influence our lives and our living. We thank you for the faithfulness that he demonstrated and the willingness to be obedient to your desires. And we just pray in this Christmas season that his story would inspire our own, and that his act of faithfulness might inspire our own acts of faithfulness. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, church family, Merry Christmas in advance, and may you go into this week, these next 12 days of Christmas, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.